first thing I want to do is, because we're going to dive right back into the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to get right back into the Beatitudes. We have the eighth Beatitude, the final, definitely not the least, but the final Beatitude that Jesus preached. And we were just there on that Mount where Jesus preached, declared these amazing words of life, where he rolled out his worldview to the entire world so that we could know how we were created to live and how to find real life. And so I want to show you this picture. Let's go to the first, the one where just Velvet and I are on it. We'll get to that other one. So that's us. That's actually us standing on the Mount of Beatitudes right there, overlooking the Sea of Galilee. And so that was on Monday. That was 6 days ago where we were there. So whatever I say today about this beatitude is 100% for sure positive, real, and true because I was just there. I don't have a t-shirt to prove it, but I have a picture to prove it. Anyway, I just want to show a few other pictures from our trip. So this is actually at Gaza, the Gaza Strip at the wall at Gaza, right there. That was quite an experience. This is overlooking, this is the Western Wall right down here. This is some of the group that I had the privilege of walking around Old City of Jerusalem and sharing the ministry of Jesus to, about Golgotha, about the cross, about the resurrection of Christ. We went to the Upper Room location. We talked about the start of the church, the filling, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was wonderful. And many of those people, about half of those, are legislators here in the state of Arizona. So again, for those of you who didn't know, I was on a delegation. I was asked to be part of the Arizona House of Representatives legislative trade delegation to Israel. We opened up a trade office in Israel when we were there, an Arizona trade office there. So I was along with them, and I had the opportunity to share and minister. They gave me the opportunity to walk them around and talk to them about the ministry of Jesus in those places, because that's why people want to see those places. This is actually at Capernaum. This is where Jesus launched his earthly ministry and where he did so. It's kind of his home base around Galilee right here in Capernaum. Amazing place. Jesus, and this is where he called his disciples, right here. Come follow me. And they immediately dropped everything and they followed Jesus. And the point is this, is Jesus is still calling us to follow him, and all of us are carrying all kinds of stuff in our life that we need to drop so that we can follow Jesus and walk into this new life and that to the full. And so that was kind of the message I got to share with the group there. Do I have a couple more pictures? This is talking about Golgotha. All right, move on. This is at the upper, one more back, this is Upper Room location. Upper Room was right up in there. It was redone in about the 14th century, so it doesn't look anything like it used to look. It's all Gothic looking and all that in there, but they believe the Upper Room was right up there. It's an amazing place. I got to share about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and how the power of God is still active and moving in people who are born again in Christ Jesus. Awesome. And then the next one, let's see what we got here. Oh, this is when we're opening up the Arizona-Israeli trade office. So a lot happened. We had breakfast at 6:30 in the morning, and we usually finished up about 10 o'clock at night, and then we did it all over again, and I'm going to take a long nap this afternoon. But let's get to the Word of God, because that's where real life is. I could tell stories, but let's let the Word of God fill us right now. See, Jesus in these Beatitudes, as he's launching the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is laying out for us an amazing progression of how to live life, how to walk out of the old life and into the new full life that's found in him and only in him. So check this out. If you want to open up to Matthew chapter 5, you can follow along with this progression right here. It starts with this. When you realize that you're poor in spirit, that's the first beatitude, right? Blessed are the poor in spirit. When you realize that you're poor in spirit, when you realize that you're completely bankrupt, that you have nothing in you, in yourself, that's going to save you, when you get to that point, you will mourn. And you will mourn over your sin. You'll mourn over the condition of your broken life. And this mourning over your sin is going to lead you to meekness, not weakness. But it's going to lead you to that place of meekness that's going to strip you of your pride and cause you to hunger and thirst now for righteousness. And we know that that righteousness that we're hungering and thirsting for is Jesus himself, the righteous one. And when we hunger and thirst for righteousness, Jesus said that we will be filled. We won't continue to go hungry or thirsty, that God will show up and he will fill us. The Holy Spirit will actually make his dwelling and reside within us. That's an amazing thing. We're going to be filled. That's then going to cause us, being filled with God now, the merciful one, to become merciful ourselves. Because we've been shown so much mercy that we can't help but show mercy to others. And as Christ continues to work in us, we develop a pure heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. See where we're going here? Just following along. This is what he's laying out, a life progression of what happens. We become pure in heart that will lead us to becoming peacemakers. About the business of God. About the ministry of reconciliation. Bringing people to Jesus. And when we do the ministry of Christ Jesus, when we walk where he walked, when we do the things he did and even greater things than that, as he said we would do, when we make peace between man and God, and we stick ourselves out there as representatives, as ambassadors of Christ, Jesus says, we will be persecuted. We will be persecuted. But now we're so grounded and so transformed in Christ Jesus that in the midst of that persecution, we don't whine and we don't run, but we rejoice and we find ourselves blessed, blessed, happy in God, full of joy, even in the persecution, because we are fully transformed and fully alive now in Christ Jesus. Are you happy in God? Amen. So this is, I looked at this last week, because that's why I started putting this together. I looked at this last week, and I thought, you know what? If you've ever looked for and longed to engage with the prosperity gospel, this is it. This is the real prosperity gospel. In fact, that's the title of this message. Yeah, it's about persecution. But you know what this is really about? It's the culmination of true, real, godly, kingdom of heaven kind of prosperity. You want to prosper? Live this kind of life. It begins with poor in spirit, it ends with persecution and a whole transformation in between, but it is glorious. It's glorious. The real prosperity gospel, the beatitude lifestyle. So you ready to prosper? Eighth beatitude, Matthew 5, chapter 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad. Can you say that? Say, rejoice and be glad. I will rejoice. I will be glad. Because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So, Pastor, did you read that correctly? I did. Did Jesus really just say that persecuted people are happy people? He did. He declared that. In fact, that was right at the beginning of this whole sermon. This is how he's getting people's attention. It's his truth. Jesus is telling us, he's telling his disciples, that's us, it's gonna be tough when you follow me. It's not smooth sailing when you say yes to me, not in the way that the world would define smooth sailing. It's gonna be rough, it's gonna be tough. The prophets were persecuted, Jesus says. Then he says, I was persecuted. And if you choose to do life my way, if you choose to embrace this kind of worldview, this totally different lifestyle, and if you choose to identify with me and follow me all the days of your life, you too will be persecuted. Now, Christians throughout history and even today, they understand that when you start following Jesus, that's not the first day to Easy Street. That's really the first step into a life of persecution. That's when the tough times really begin. Remember, I called this the real prosperity gospel. So, woo, right? Y'all hanging with me here? Hang with me here, because we're going to hear all kinds of stories and examples of persecution here. But I want you to remember that those people and those stories that we're going to be looking at here, that those people are happy in God, that they are extremely happy in God right now because great is their reward. There's a lot of people who've gone through this life who have not experienced persecution because of their identity in Christ Jesus and the fact that they've been right up front and center and real about who Jesus is in this world. There's a lot of people who have passed away never experiencing any kind of insult, any kind of persecution, have died with, you know, houses and cars and vehicles and everything plush. I don't know how happy they are. But I can guarantee you the people that we're about ready to highlight here, they are happy. Great is their reward. And here's the deal too, before I dive into some of these things. It's not that they were only happy after they were persecuted and martyred. That's not the only time of happiness. There is happiness in just identifying with Jesus, knowing that you are walking in Him, fully alive in Him, that you are pleasing Him. There's happiness in union with Christ Jesus, no matter the circumstances. And if you're dealing with unhappiness in your life, I want to encourage you, are you walking tight with Jesus right now with whatever you're dealing with, whether it's good, bad, or ugly? Because there is happiness in all circumstances and at all times in life. One way, Jesus. Jesus. All right. So we're going to look, first of all, what did persecution look like back in the early church? After all, when Jesus ascended to be with the Father and the church went out in the streets and proclaimed Jesus, everybody loved Him, right? Everybody embraced Him. Everybody said, "Woo, we've been looking for You. Thank You for showing up. Man, You're a breath of fresh air. Come here." No. Here's what it looked like in the early church. Here's what persecution looked like. Philip was scourged and thrown into prison. Then he was crucified. You remember Philip? Guy walking along, finds an Ethiopian, shares Jesus with him. From Isaiah, right? He's all and the Ethiopian immediately comes to Christ and says, "Let's be baptized. Why not right now?" Boom, baptized him. Then he got teleported to another place to minister because it's like he was on fire for Jesus. And the Holy Spirit's like, "Well, okay, now I want him over there, and let's put him over there, and come on, let's grow this church," right? That's Philip. Great is his reward. Matthew was slain with a sword. Matthias was stoned and then beheaded. Peter was crucified upside down because he didn't feel worthy to be identified with Christ in the same way, to be crucified in the same way as Christ was, as his Lord. So he was crucified, but he was crucified upside down. Andrew, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, they were all crucified. Andrew was left hanging on the cross for 3 days. It's adding insult to injury. Bartholomew was beaten with clubs. Check this out. He was beaten with clubs. Then he was, if you have your kids in here and you don't want them to hear this, you can feel free. Anyway, sorry. I'm just being real. This is just what really happened. You know, this is real life right here. Bartholomew, he was beaten with clubs. He was filleted at that point, and then crucified, hung up on a cross in that condition. Thomas was speared to death. John was exiled to the island of Patmos. It wasn't like he just was exiled and then got to live a cushy life on some island, you know, some Greek island. No. I've been to Patmos. It's a beautiful area. But, I mean, he was like boiled in water, all kinds of stuff in the process. It wasn't a pleasant time for him, yet he remained faithful, and the Lord gave him the revelation of Jesus that he shared with all of us.
James was beheaded. It said that on his way to being martyred, that he was sharing Jesus. He was sharing this prosperity gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the very one that turned him in and was leading him to be martyred, to be beheaded. And the guy that was taking him to be beheaded got saved, declared Jesus as his Lord and Savior, and was beheaded right after James was. Happy in God are those who are persecuted. Then there's the diaspora. There's all kinds of persecution happening with the early church. So this diaspora is called the scattering of the saints. I think there's something to be seen in this. It's not said as a negative thing, the diaspora. So I want to point this out. If there's persecution, if there's serious stuff coming against you and your family, it's okay to run. You know what I'm saying? There's times to stand and stay and take it, and there's times to flee. You got to be led by the Holy Spirit in that. And let me say this. Never, ever, ever go looking for persecution. Amen. Don't do it. That's false humility. That's pride. That's stupidity. I'll just call it that, okay? You identify with Christ. You proclaim his name. You be his ambassador. Persecution is going to find you in its due time. You just remain faithful at that point. Don't go running after it. So, but check this out. The Lord says in Scripture that he works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. What happened as a result of all this persecution? What happened as a result of the diaspora, as the church scattering? The gospel went all over the world to the ends of the earth as a result of persecution. God uses all things for his glory. There are millions upon millions upon millions of people who have found salvation in Christ Jesus because of persecution. Everybody's happy to be at church this morning. This is good news. This is exciting stuff. This will help us enjoy our life in Christ Jesus every single day when we realize this truth. I'm telling you, this is good. It'll free you to be who you really are. It'll empower you to just be Jesus in the world today, knowing that this has happened to the prophets before you. It happened to Jesus. It's happened to tens of thousands of millions of people before us. It's okay. Happy in God are those who are persecuted. So it looked bad. It looked tragic. Where's the real prosperity in all of this? Matthew 5:12. Rejoice and be glad, because great, great is their reward in heaven. Not temporary prosperity. See, this is the real prosperity gospel. Not temporary prosperity. Not a bigger house, a newer car, a bigger checking account, you know, easy street. You know, no. That rust and moth, they destroy those things. You can't take it with you. This life is but a vapor. Those things will come to us from time to time. We'll have those things from time to time, and that's fine. And those are blessings, and we should enjoy all things God's given us and use it all for his glory. If you got a really nice cabin, you know, you want to have your pastor come stay in it. That's what he's talking about for his glory. Anyway, I don't know where that came from. Jet lag, that's it, jet lag. Okay. But Jesus is rolling out on that mount. That very mount, that Mount of Beatitudes, he's saying this is where real happiness is found. Like the kind that nobody can ever take from you and you will have for eternity. Real happiness. The other stuff will come and go, and it's fine as it comes and goes. But this is eternal happiness. To be identified with him in this life, so identified with him that people are going to treat you like they treated Jesus. In this life, the great reward of the life to come. I so often hear people saying, man, I just want the church today to be like the church back in Acts, man. I just want to be like that church of Acts. And I'm like, yes, so do I. That's why we teach from Acts. That's why we keep going back to Acts. That's why we say, let's walk in this stuff. Let's do it. Let's go after it. I just read to you what happened to so many of the people in the church of Acts. That's part of it, church. The church of Acts is also about the church that was persecuted, the church that had to scatter, the church that they either loved them or they hated them. It's kind of like President Trump, right? In no way was I trying to make anyway, it was just an example, not. By the way, on our trade delegation, little over half Republican and the other half Democrat. So it was bipartisan. Jesus loves us all. Jesus loves the... Anyway. So that was looking at the early church. The early church. The early church of Acts. So much glory, so much move of God, so much power, so many miracles, and so much persecution. Just like Jesus, right? Glory, power, miracles, persecution. Here's what persecution looks like around the world today. In certain regions of India, there are increasing numbers of pastors being attacked. They're attacking not only pastors, but other men, other Christian men in villages. Not everywhere in India, but in certain places. India's got quite a few people, if you didn't know that, by the way. And then it was the women that were being assaulted and abused. But now it seems like it's the children's turn more and more. Today, reports of children being beaten, raped, and even killed are on the rise in India. But they're not really necessarily persecuted because of their own faith. They're persecuted because of the faith of their parents. Imagine that, parents. Yet this goes on today. Happy in God. Great is their reward. Great is their reward. In March 1998, the 13-year-old daughter of an Egyptian family that had recently converted to Christianity, she was kidnapped, raped, and forced to convert to Islam by a terrorist group. The girl was finally released to go back to her family, but upon getting home, she discovered that the terrorist also attacked her family. They killed them by slitting their bellies open and crushing their heads with stones. That's 1998. I was in Turkey, I think it was 2005, maybe 2006. I think 2005. And I went with Dr. Andrew Jackson. It was an amazing time over in Turkey. But I met a guy in Turkey named Suleiman. And if you've been in my office, my church office here, you'll see this big copper platter that's all decorated with Bible verses in Turkish all around it. This was what Suleiman does now. He's an artist now. And he made that, and I got to purchase that from him. And it's a great reminder because this man, Suleiman, converted to Christianity. He said yes to Jesus. His wife's family, Suleiman's wife's family, brothers, her brothers, found out about what happened to Suleiman, that he was now a Christian. And they went to the government, and because of the laws of Turkey, they convinced the government to remove Suleiman's family, his wife and his children from him, to prevent him from ever seeing them again because he would be proselytizing to them and trying to convert them to Christianity. He lost his wife and his kids. This happened in the early 2000s. I've met the man. I've talked with him. I've prayed with this man. This kind of stuff going on around the world. Could he have renounced his Christianity? He could have. He could have said, oh, no, it wasn't real. No. Anything for your family. No. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I cannot deny him, no matter what happens. Believe it or not, there's more persecution today than ever. In the 20th century, that's the 1900s, there's more persecution in the 1900s, that 20th century, than all of the other centuries put together. All 19 other centuries put together. You add it all together, all the persecution of all that time, all the other things we talked about in the early church, you put it all together, there's more persecution in the last 100 years than there was in the prior 1900 years. It's incredible. It's been calculated that I won't go into any more details. We'll keep rolling. Persecution, though, let me say this, comes in all shapes and sizes.
We talked about several of them with the early church, with what's going on in the church around the world today, being beaten, raped, murdered because of your faith. But there are other definitions of persecution that Jesus actually gives us right here in this beatitude. He says, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Not because you just did something stupid, you know, or you were rude, and so somebody says something rude to you because you were rude to them or cut them off in traffic. That's not persecution when you do, you know. But no, because of me. Blessed are you when people insult you. Look at the different types of persecution that Jesus is highlighting. Who insult you, persecute you, and say all kinds of false things against you because of me. So here's, I want to just kind of unpack a little bit. What does this look like? So what does persecution look like today for us right here in the United States in 2019? What does it look like to us? And maybe I should say, what should it look like to us? Maybe even a little more. I'll go into that a little bit later. Not too much later, because we're coming up against it right here. But let's look in politics. Senator Mazi Hirono, from a Democrat from Hawaii, and Kamala Harris from California, they chose combative questions in an interview with a guy named Brian Buescher. He was an Omaha-based lawyer who was nominated by the president to sit on the United States District Court in the District of Nebraska. Buescher is a Catholic. He has very traditional, pro-life, traditional values. And due to his belief, he was subjected to some crazy circus kind of questions. And they came out and actually said this. Those who were against his nominations actually said that they doubted his ability to serve in this public office because of his Christianity. Because he was infected by Jesus, I guess. Fire Chief Kelvin Cochran, I had the privilege of meeting him earlier this year. Wayne and Tanya Mihailo are friends with Kelvin, and they introduced me to him earlier this year. Anyway, he was fired from the Atlanta Fire Department. How about that? Fired from the fire department. He was a chief. The fire chief in Atlanta. Some of you maybe remember this story. He was fired. Why was he fired? Because of his performance? Not at all. He was let go from that role, that position, because he wrote a book for members of his church expressing biblical views on sexuality, adultery, and homosexuality. And because of that book that he wrote for his church, he was fired from public office. Insult you, say all kinds of false things about you. How about in business? The CEO of Mozilla, they do the Firefox, and they do several other applications. He was fired because he financially supported pro-family, pro-traditional marriage legislation over in California. So he was fired. CEO of a company. Forced out because of his pro-life, pro-family perspectives. Christian bakers and florists, we've heard the stories of that, how they've refused to participate in certain types of weddings and events. And they're sued to where they can't even do business anymore. And then sued again, and then sued again, and sued again. It goes on and on. It's happened right here in Phoenix. Company called Brush and Nib. They do calligraphy and different things like that, for mostly a lot for weddings and parties and stuff like that. And they wouldn't participate and do their work for a same-sex wedding. And so they had to go through this whole process. It's been insane for them. Even a gentleman right here in our own church received all kinds of insult, unfair treatment, was essentially forced out of his role, which was a significant role here locally in Amazon, because of his Christianity, because of who he was in Christ. And he was just going to be who he's going to be no matter where he was. Insults, say kind of false things about you. Jesus, you know, I know sometimes in America we go, oh, that's not really persecution. Jesus highlights that stuff as persecution. That's the beginning of persecution. In my view, that's kind of 101. Persecution 101, people say things and threaten you with your livelihood,
with, you know, so on and so forth. It's happening today. They drove him out of his role over at Amazon. Let's look at education. Christian groups being kicked off college campuses. My friend Pastor Brian over at Hope Church, you know, they had all kinds of things go on over there in ASU, but man, they're still ministering in an incredible ministry over at ASU, the largest university in the nation, and they are bringing Jesus to those students. It's wonderful. Many Christian colleges have been asked to conform to secularist ideologies, otherwise they would lose their accreditations. You want to talk about pressure? You change your science curriculum to match up with our views of evolution, otherwise you will no longer be an accredited university. Essentially, you'll be out of business for the most part, right? A teacher in New Jersey was suspended for giving a student a Bible. We've seen this happen many times with coaches who decide that they want to pray with their team, either before the game, in the middle of a huddle, whatever it might be. It happened in Washington, and this coach was put on leave for saying a prayer on the field at the end of a game. A prayer. And then I walked through yesterday in our 26 hours of traveling yesterday. I walked through the airport and I see a prayer room. And I'm like, I want to go to the prayer room. I've got a couple hours. It's reserved for Muslim prayer. And I'm like, what is... Anyway, I don't know. That just came to me. But there's a move in our culture to outlaw biblical text by considering it hate speech. Church, this is happening right now. It's happening right now. In California, you're not even allowed to. I don't know if it's fully law yet, but it's totally moving that direction. You can't even talk and counsel somebody about sexual things anymore over there, like homosexuality, and help walk somebody who wants to walk out of that lifestyle, as if you were going to talk to somebody who's walking out of adultery or whatever other kind of sin, let's call it what it is, and they're making that illegal. Like if a pastor consults and pastors somebody through that transition back to heterosexuality, they can be like brought to court. This stuff is going on right now. It's like hyper speed for all of this. So people get ready. Persecution is coming, but Jesus is coming. And he's worth it, and it's good. And I want to encourage us. We got to be who we are, say what we know, and give what we have. We got to be the church. We got to say what we know. We got to speak truth. And we cannot be afraid. The world needs a church that knows Jesus and is willing to share Jesus with them. The world's desperate. In fact, so much of the dysfunction, the hurt, and the pain going on in our culture today is because, frankly, the church has been too quiet. And I'm not talking about get out on the corner and yell, you're going to hell and you're horrible people. No, Jesus, I didn't see Jesus do that. He went to the temple and he called out the religious people. But he didn't go on the street corners and yell at people telling them they're evil and going to hell. He went to them, though, and he shared truth. And he shared life with them, and he didn't hold back. No matter where he went, no matter what anybody else said, he was going to be Jesus to them. And that's what we're called to be. Jesus in this world, no matter what's happening, what could happen, what people are saying, or what they might say. We're called to be Jesus. He went to the cross. We just celebrated communion. His body broken for us. Can we handle an insult? His body was broken. The man who had no sin took on our sin. His blood spilled for us. The sin of the world came upon him. Can we handle just representing him in this free society that we live in? I say yes, we can. I got to move on here, though. This is what God promised would happen. It's in 2 Timothy. We're going to go a little bit long today. He's worth it, okay? We got to get this, all right? 2 Timothy 3:12. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. How many people will be? Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Not might be, will be persecuted. It says this in John 15:20. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. Are you in Christ Jesus?
they will persecute you also. Are you okay with that? That was a little quieter. Are you in Christ Jesus? Yes. Are you okay with them persecuting you? Yes. I guess so. I get it. Believe me, I get it. It's no fun. I hate it. I hate that. I hate it when people insult, when they cut me off, when they cut me out of their life because of Christ. I don't like it either. It hurts. It's hard. Welcome to the prosperity gospel. Anyway, now what? What's the next step? Are you okay being hated? That's the question I have right here. Are you okay being hated? Yes. Think about that. Are you okay being hated? Yes. You need to be okay being hated because of Christ. Not because you're rude. Woo. Not because you don't shower, but because of Jesus. Are you okay being hated because you so identify and so exude Jesus in this world? Are you okay? You have to come to that place where you're okay with that. You really do. If you follow Jesus, you're stopping if you don't move to that place of being okay being hated. You got to be okay being hated. I'm not saying go out and look for it. I'm not saying be rude. None of that, okay? So don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm just saying just be in Jesus. They hated Jesus not because he was rude. He was the Son of God. He was perfect. He healed people. He loved people. And they hated him. It's crazy. But we live in a crazy world. Look around. It's nuts out there, right? Peter, the night that Jesus was betrayed, denied him. Denied him. He regretted that. He got restored to that. He got restored up because Jesus is good. God is good. His mercies are new every morning. But it was fear that caused him to deny Jesus. We got to get over our fear. Church, we have to get over our fear. I'd say the fear of the Lord must be greater than any other fear that's out there. It has to be. Here's some fear of the Lord, Matthew 10:33. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. I'll let that speak for itself. So what's our next step? You hear me say it all the time. We don't want to live under the radar. We want to be who we are, say what we know, give what we have. That's it. Again, you don't have to go out on the streets and start screaming and yelling at people. You just need to be Jesus. You need to be his ambassador. You need to bring his love, his truth, his life wherever you go, whatever room you walk into, whatever relationship you're blessed to have with others. You just need to bring Jesus. You just need to be Jesus. Do what Jesus did to and for others. Just be Jesus. Love others in such an incredible way. Just be Jesus. Be who you are. Say what you know and give. It's no more complicated than that. This isn't now about, okay, he preached this about being persecuted. I got to go out and find out how to be persecuted. No. Again, I didn't say that. Jesus doesn't. It will find you, but not because you're rude or crazy or a nutcase, but because you're so full of Jesus, it will find you. And you will be blessed, and your reward will be great. Our next step, commit to the mission of reconciliation. That's the seventh beatitude, being a peacemaker. Commit to that. Remember, it all goes together. Are you making peace? Are you bringing people to Jesus? Are you sharing Christ with others? That's our next step. People need Jesus. Share him with others. And people will say, oh, but I'm not supposed to. I'm not allowed to in our culture. I just went on a, bring up one of those pictures with all the folks in it. I just went on a delegation. I was asked to go on a delegation with the Arizona House of Representatives, and I shared Jesus with them. There were two atheists in the group, and many others who don't believe in Christ, who don't walk with Jesus. But that's why I was there. I mean, that's the only reason I was there. Why are you in the classroom you're in? Why are you in the neighborhood you're in? Why are you in the office you're in, on the job site that you're at? Why? To share Jesus with people who need him. To pray for people who have needs. To love people like Jesus would love them. That's why we're here walking on this earth today. So practice the ministry of reconciliation. Don't appease man. Fear the Lord.
because there's joy in that. Our reward is great. Our reward is Jesus, now and forever. This is the real prosperity gospel. Oh, I have so much more to say. I want to talk about Stephen right now, but I can't do it. Read about him in Acts 8. My goodness, Stephen. Acts 7 and 8. Stephen, he feared God more than man. He shared Jesus with people. They were throwing stones at him. He looks up and he sees. He has been given the ability at that moment to actually see into heaven with his physical eyes on this side, his unresurrected, before resurrected body, see into heaven and see Jesus standing beside the Father, giving him a standing ovation. Great is his reward. Great. Okay. I want to end with this. People are dying today. They're dying today because of Jesus. People are losing their children today because of Christ. But their reward is great. They're happy in God today. Believe me, they are. And they're happy in God for all eternity. They're receiving a standing ovation from God even right now. They've inherited the kingdom of heaven.